You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Hey, good morning. It is 6:06 on this beautiful Wednesday morning, February 12th. I'm Dr. Kristen Lyerly, guest hosting for Pat Kreitlow, who is definitely sleeping in somewhere in the Caribbean. He's going to be back on Monday. Pat, we all wish we were there with you, but here we are in Wisconsin, trudging through February. I am joined this morning by Greg Bach. Of course we are, Bach and the Doc.
Oh, and, yeah.
And we have a special guest this morning with us, helping me get through these next couple of hours, is our host of Rational Revolution. That's probably how you know him if you're a Civic Media fan. We've got Mark Becker. Welcome, Mark.
Hey, thank you. This is awesome. It's early. Oh, my gosh. Yes. Thank you.
I know it's like much earlier than where you typically fit in, and I understand you are making lunch right now.
Yes, lunch for my 7-year-old. Yes, first grade lunch.
Adorable. What are we having for lunch today?
So we have a peanut allergy in our house, so it's a peanut butter and jelly sandwich with sunflower butter.
Oh.
Yes, and chips and some chocolate and grapes. Mm.
Excellent. I love how you snuck the grapes in there. Good work.
Yes. They're called cotton candy grapes. They're amazing. Have you ever tried those?
Those are the big plump ones, right?
Yeah, but they taste like cotton candy. It's crazy.
They're sweet, sweet, sweet.
They're really, yes, they're very good. Mm-hmm. I never would have thought that exists, but it's a thing.
Adults have cotton candy vodka. Kids have cotton candy grapes. We're all.
Well, and you can, you know, and as an adult, you can probably infuse the cotton candy grapes with cotton candy vodka.
Mark, not at my age. You just drink the vodka straight and think about your choices.
You didn't have time for the infusion. Just go straight for the vodka.
Yeah.
So today we're going to focus on small business. And we've got Michelle Tressler coming in later this morning. She is the co-founder of Hinterland Brewery and a board member with Main Street Alliance. She's going to talk with us about the small business climate here in Wisconsin, some of the challenges and opportunities that we have. And then the amazing Andrea Fanta, the founder of Mommy AF. Have you seen those stickers, like bumper stickers that people have?
Yep.
Yeah. So Andrea is going to tell us a little bit about her movement that she's turned into a brick and mortar collective that supports small business. It just dawned on me as I was typing up the notes that AF.
Yeah.
That's Andrea Fanta.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. I was like, here comes the dump button.
Yeah. We had this conversation 2.5 minutes ago.
And then in store for the rest of the week, it's just tomorrow for me. Tomorrow's my last day to hang out with you guys, but it's going to be a really special one. It's, of course, February 13th, Galentine's Day. Uh-huh. And we're celebrating with a full day of Women Win Wisconsin. Renee Peplum, oh, cool. Kewanee's own Renee Peplum, former candidate for Assembly District 1, is going to be joining me as a co-host. We've got Senator Jody Habish-Sinikin from the Milwaukee area, Representative Margaret Arney also from the Milwaukee area. Maybe a special guest or two might pop in. It is all about women in leadership in Wisconsin. And like I said, it's going to be a lot of fun.
That's awesome. And you know,
that's cool.
On Sunday, my friend, she went to a Galentine's Day celebration. So her husband called me and said, do you want to come over and just, you know, hang out? We'll get some lunch. And I said, we're going to have ourselves a Palentine Day weekend celebration.
Oh,
you know, just Palentine's.
I like that. I hadn't heard that before. Did you just like, are you trademarking that right now?
I can't believe that I came up with that. I can't. No.
I'm going to search it up and.
Oh, I'm sure it's out there somewhere. I'm sure it's like a beer or something.
It could be. We can talk to Michelle about it, because if it isn't a beer, could make a beer.
It could be, and it could be like, it could be, you know, pushing the idea like of men getting in touch with their feelings and being, you know, more open emotionally and things like that as we drink our feelings. Don't you agree, doctor?
I do. I definitely do agree.
Okay.
That there is a space where men are invited to get in touch with their emotions. And actually, as the mom of four boys, I think we need much more of that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I think we've got this macho culture. We see it a lot, you know, this yeah. you know, strength and a lot of flexing, and like you have to be everything to everyone and strong all the time. And nobody is that. So to make it okay, yeah. you know, to give men a space where they can get together like women do, because men just don't do that like women do.
No.
So Greg, I think you're onto something here.
You know, I'm starting my own revolution, friends.
There you go.
The Beatles, yeah. Mark Becker, Greg Bach, all revolutionaries, you know, just.
I do that. I grew up in a house of four boys too, but we were like Mr. Rogers' family. So we kind of learned how to do that and be in touch with feelings and be in touch with, you know, how we make others feel and what, you know, all of that stuff. And yeah, and I think a lot of that's gone, and that's kind of why we are where we are.
Mm-hmm. And we actually have a movement now, especially online on social media, where men are taking it even further away. Like they're like, you got to eat raw meat in the morning. Don't even grind your beans. Just push the beans in your eyes, because that's what a real man does. And then you have women who say things like, yes, that's what I like. I'm like, well, that's great. You guys can hang out. But that doesn't mean that's the norm.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, and you can't hold everybody to that expectation.
Agreed.
I mean, the beauty of it is that you need to be who you are, mm-hmm. not who somebody else thinks you ought to be.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of amazing people who are who they are, Todd Alba is going to be joining us later today, but he also is going to be taking over the reins of the show on Friday when Pat's still gone, on vacation.
This week went so fast.
It's only Wednesday.
Good for him.
You're right. It is. It's only Wednesday. Why did I think today was Thursday? If it was, this week's going so slow.
Well, hey, I'm about to cheer you up because we're going to do a quick rundown of the temperatures across the state.
Okay.
And hey, guess what? Unless my app is stuck, it's again 20 degrees below zero in Hayward. Is that possible?
What?
I know.
That's.
I'm looking at it. 20 degrees. It was 20 degrees below zero yesterday. It is 20 degrees below zero today. Hayward, you need to up your game with the heat.
Hey, Hayward, why don't you be a man about it?
What's the temperature in Racine? Yesterday, there was a 40 degree difference.
Yeah,
between
so let me look right now. In fabulous Radio Park, it is, well, it says 21 in Kenosha, so I don't imagine it's much different in Racine. 21 in Racine as well. So
is it yesterday? Is it Groundhog Day?
That was the 2nd of February, wasn't it?
But it feels like Groundhog Day when it comes to these temperatures, because I'm not kidding. 17 degrees in Milwaukee, 1 degree in Wisconsin Rapids, minus 11 in Amory, 5 degrees in La Crosse, minus 1 in Eau Claire, 1 degree in Wausau. I think these are almost exactly the same numbers as yesterday, and I updated my app.
And you guys are getting snow up there too, right? Or is it? Oh, no, I think it's just us down here in southeastern Wisconsin.
I don't know.
Because it might be too cold to be getting snow down there. Yeah.
We need Brittany to tell us what's going to happen.
That's true. I should stop doing her
job. Yeah, we're getting like 3 to 6 up here in the old Green Bay area.
Yeah. We're getting 5 to 9. We'll see what happens. We'll see if we get any at all.
Yeah.
They've already canceled school in Milwaukee, so.
Oh, really?
Yep.
See, because we have at the car dealership, we have to have a keen eye of what's going on with the weather, you know, knowing whether or not we have to plow the lot and all of that kind of stuff. So
I see what you did there, knowing whether you had to plow the lot.
Very good.
Hey, friends, if you are just fascinated by this conversation and you want to join in, here's how you do it. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can also use the Civic Media app. And of course, leave a comment on Civic Media's YouTube page. And if you missed any of our spicy, wonderful episodes this past week, or want to check out any of the other Civic Media programming, including Mark's show, Rational Revolution, just take a peek at civicmedia.us.
Very good.
Right. Have you voted yet? Mark, have you voted?
What's that?
Have you voted yet?
Have I what? What's that?
Voted.
Oh, have voted. I voted? No, I have not.
What's your plan?
We will. Same day, we like to do that. Because we like to kind of take our kids and show them and give them that whole experience of, you know, seeing what that whole civic duty is. So involving them has kind of been a big thing for us.
Mm-hmm. And get your sticker. There's something about the sticker.
Oh, yeah.
Kids love stickers.
Yeah. And it really is special when you can take them, and it's a little boring, but it's also like kind of exciting in a way.
They love it. They think it is exciting because, you know, the anticipation and everything. And then you can kind of tie it into watching the returns at home and looking at what's going on. And so it's kind of a whole ball of adventure for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Greg, how about you? What's your plan?
Well, I was going to vote today, but if it's, well, you know, I could probably vote today because I'll get out of here early enough and the snow will be just starting. So, and there probably won't be a line either. People will be like, I'll vote tomorrow. So I'm going to make it that I would like to vote today.
Mm-hmm. Just real voting day is on Tuesday, but early voting is up until Friday.
Up until Friday. And it's a spring election. There's not a lot on the ballots, so it shouldn't take you very long. My guess is that there'll be very short to no lines where you live, because it's just, unfortunately, spring elections aren't as sexy as fall, especially presidential, but it doesn't mean you shouldn't get out and vote. And Dr. Lyerly, where can they go? What website can they go to find out more about this?
I'm so glad you asked. The website you go to is myvote.wi.gov. It has everything. All you have to do is plug your address in, your name. Mm-hmm. It tells you who your reps are, where you go, what's on your ballot. What's on your ballot? Everybody's got state superintendent of schools on their ballot in Wisconsin. And then some of us have school board and other municipal elections. This is a primary for the spring. The big election is coming up on April Fool's Day. And, you know, we were talking yesterday. A lot of people are not even, they don't even know that there's an election coming up.
Yeah.
So get the word out, have these conversations, because these are the seats that really make a difference in our communities and across the state of Wisconsin. It's not as exciting. We don't hear as much about it as you do like a presidential race, but this stuff matters.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead, Mark.
The local stuff is the closest to the community, you know, closer than any other level. So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of wild how people don't turn out for these.
Mm-hmm. Spoken like a former county board member.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. Yeah. But, and it's not just voting, it's participating, you know, engaging, getting involved wherever you can, and knowing who you're voting for. Don't just vote for the Republican or the Democrat. Get out there and get to know these people on a level where you understand it. So when we come back, we are going to get one lawmaker's take on small business here in Wisconsin and across the country. So join us. I'm Dr. Kristen Lyerly, and this is Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
But this song always makes me think of like Looney Tunes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, maybe. I think it was in Fantasia, like Fantasia 2000.
Fantasia 2000.
I tried to make my kids watch that a lot when they were little because it felt like the right parenting thing to do, and they kind of liked it. But I mean, one did grow up to become a music teacher, so maybe it.
Yeah, that's had true. Impact.
I'd say you won then. There, you did a good job.
The Mozart effect works.
There it is.
Subliminal messaging.
Oh, of course, this is George Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue, which debuted 101 years ago today in New York.
Mm-hmm. It feels like yesterday.
If you like that, we've got much more to come in our history lesson at 6:50. But until then, we are talking about small business in Wisconsin with Mark Becker as our guest co-host. He, of course, is the host of Rational Revolution, which can be found on the weekends and on civicmedia.us. So
glad to be here.
It's so good to have you here. And I'm really excited to get your take on this clip that I found. I stumbled on this clip of first term Congressman Tony Weed, who serves on the House Committee on Small Business. Of course, Tony is our congressman here in the 8th CD. And he had this to say on News Nation a few days ago.
Oh, hold on 1 second here. The video silenced itself. Give me one moment. And
well, I mean, first and foremost, we need to look at from a tax reform. That's our job in Congress, not reform, but to extend those Trump tax cuts. I think that's really important, whether that's the 199 or repealing the death tax, some of those things. But we also need to look at regulations. I think President Trump's right. If a new regulation comes into place, we should get rid of 10. You know, there's a reason for some regulations. We need to keep things in line. But again, those things, the regulations continue to pile onto our small businesses. In our district, many of them are farmers, manufacturers. They're driving our economy. And I think that's what's most important right now. Get out of the way from a federal government perspective.
So I hear a couple things in that clip. First of all, I hear tax cuts, which is classic Republican. And then I hear take a broad axe to regulations. Hey, I would love your thoughts on just some of the things that we heard in that clip. And as a former, I'm going to out you right now. As a former Republican, as a former Republican chair of the Broward County Republican Party, you know, and to be very, very fair, you are you're a big thinker. Your podcast is about coming together and bridging differences and focus on problem solving, not Republicans and Democrats. But, you know, we live in this really divided world where people tend to line up and on one side or the other. And these are issues, tax cuts, deregulation that end up squarely in that camp of Republicans. But it's not that simple, is it?
No, it's not that simple. And I think like what you have to do is you have to understand that, you know, tax cuts, sure. I think that those are good for small businesses. Those do help. But then you also have to see where the inequities are. And that's the difference, I think, between Republicans and Democrats. So if you want to cut taxes on small businesses, sure. But then you still have millionaires and billionaires, and I hate to sound like Elizabeth Warren here, but paying less taxes than I do as a person. So that's what we have to focus on as well. So, you know, yeah, tax cuts are great, but you have to also increase revenue. And he talks about, you know, deregulation and all of that. You know, we've heard how in the airlines over the last couple of months that the regulations in the airlines have been written in blood. Well, typically, that's kind of how things work in government as well. There, if there's a regulation, there's a reason. And it's for things like inequity and inequality and all of these things that the government does have a place to try to sort out. So I think Tony Weed paints with a really broad and a lot of times very confused brush when he talks about some of these things. And it's unfortunate to kind of hear him just, and the frustrating thing is all he does and his whole purpose for being in that job is to do whatever Donald Trump tells him to do. Mm-hmm. And we don't need that in Wisconsin. When I was the Republican chairman, I always described myself as a fiscal conservative with a social conscience. So I was the only person that came out in support of things like marriage equality and and I was pro-choice. Oh, did they love that, by the way? That was fun.
There used to be pro-choice Republicans. Yeah. There used to be anti-choice Democrats. It didn't used to be so locked into one side or the other.
Right. And so, but Tony Weed is not that person. He is vehemently on the right, extreme right, I would say, too.
Well, and I think, you know, sometimes we do have to get, we always have to get into the details. For example, he specifically talks about the death tax. And I don't know about you, but when I think about the death tax, I think, well, that is only for the super wealthy people. Like my family's not going to benefit from the death tax. That's the top 1%. Yeah. And, you know, it's the same thing for regulations. I mean, if you take a, to hear him say, if a new one comes out, we need to get rid of 10. Well, that sounds very random. Like, which 10 and why are they there? Mm-hmm. And it's the same approach that we're seeing with Doge right now. You can't just go in and be like, nah, we're getting rid of all of this. This is all there for a reason. So in order to figure out what needs to be weeded out and where you can be more efficient, you have to actually think about it and, you know, work through those details.
Well, and it's also really stupid because, like, just drunkenly cutting things just because it looks cool on a campaign ad, that's not smart. Mm-hmm. You know, it's and so, yeah, he might think it sounds cool, thumping your chest and eating his raw meat and all of that. But, like, it's not, that's not something that's positive for people.
Well, let's be honest. The word death tax has two things in it that everybody hates, which is death and taxes.
Yeah.
Death and taxes. Right.
Just by
death
messaging.
Tony Weed. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I just find it really troubling that, you know, here is a man who is a former small businessman and serves on the small business committee and is really speaking what is truly propaganda and is not benefiting small 100%. Business owners right here in Northeast Wisconsin. And we are going to continue this conversation when we come back from this short break. Michelle Tressler, the co-founder of Hinterland Brewery, she's also a board member with the Main Street Alliance. She is going to join us to talk about the work that they are doing. They do some really incredible advocacy work, not just when it comes to taxes and like all the dollar things that you think about with small businesses, but also with all of the support of what we would call social determinants of health. Things like making sure that small businesses have access to healthcare and childcare, all that stuff that you need in order to be able to live a sustainable, healthy life. So Michelle's going to talk with us about that. In the meantime, I'm Dr. Kristen Lyerly, and this is Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network. On the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Dr. Kristen Lyerly here with Greg Bach on the board and my guest co-host today, Mark Becker, of course, with Civic Media's Rational Revolution. It is 6:34 on Wednesday, February 12th, and she's got the brains, she's got the looks. Her name is Michelle Tressler. Welcome, Michelle.
Hi, Kristen. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. You're so welcome. Of course.
Hi.
In addition to the brains and the looks, she's also the co-founder of Hinterland Brewery in Green Bay, and she's a board member with the Main Street Alliance, a nonprofit that empowers small business owners to build a thriving and sustainable economy. Michelle, you are a small business owner. Tell us a little bit about your experience and how it inspired you to get involved with advocating for other small business owners in that space.
Well, actually, I've been in business with my husband, Bill, since 1995. We started Hinterland Brewery out of an old cheese factory out in Lang's Corners. We were kids. We didn't know a lot about what we were doing, except my husband went to brewing school and had a passion to brew craft beer. So I got out my spreadsheets and we made a little business plan and launched her. And, you know, we're 30 years later, we've actually been in business next summer. This summer is our 30th anniversary. Yeah, it's been a long time and we're still hanging on. We're still doing all right. And we've gone through a couple different iterations of our business, but it was really, we moved into our current facility, which is across the street from Lambeau Field on the Packers Titletown District campus. We launched that in about 2017, built a pretty big building with a significant footprint. We have a large brewery space. We have a large restaurant, 300 seats. It was really exciting after several, you know, about 23 years of being in business. It was kind of the pinnacle of of where we wanted to be and go with our business. So launched that in 2017. We were doing pretty darn well, and lo and behold, 2020 came along and COVID hit us. So that was kind of what launched me outside of ourselves, really into the activism and advocacy space. Early, you know, shortly after COVID hit and all of our lives changed a lot, we shut down our business temporarily for a couple months. And we, you know, really quickly realized how much at risk the people that work for us were in many, many ways, and that we had to be stewards of their health, their finances. You know, it was a lot of decision making that we were actually, you know, really, really grateful for the guidance from our state and federal government. But we were really kind of surprised with the controversy and the debate on whether or not keeping people safe was more important than making money. And we obviously had to balance figuring out how to stay in business. But it was a heady time. So I was approached at that point by great guy, a guy named Sean Fetteplace. He is the now, and I believe he's the national policy advisor for Main Street Alliance. But he was a regional organizer, and he reached out to me and said, "Hey, can I send some people your way and talk?" And so I ended up having the honor of having quite a few people in 2020 approach me to really just ask us questions. What do you need? What can the local, state, and federal government do for you? You know, what would you like to see reflected in legislation moving forward to protect restaurants like yours as well as other small businesses? It was a fantastic opportunity for me, and it really kind of launched me into this space. Now, 5 years later, I'm still super active in Main Street Alliance, but I also do other work, do a little bit of workforce development stuff through this with the state. It's really been my chance to find my voice, and it's been a very good place for me to put my energy.
Main Street Alliance is a beautiful organization of people coming together and supporting each other through difficult times. And COVID certainly was a difficult time. Hey, Mark, you as a small business owner also have struggled. I mean, COVID wasn't easy for anybody. 99% of businesses in Wisconsin are small businesses, and most of them start out like passion projects, you know, like yours, Michelle. As a member of small business or of Main Street Alliance, who are you and what do you do for small businesses?
You know, it's interesting because in the 5 years I've been a part of the organization, we've evolved. We listen to our membership. So, you know, 5 years ago, our focus was to help businesses get back on their feet, help get us the targeted aid that we needed, make sure that every individual business had everything correct, you know, everything that they needed to actually access the aid that was being offered. And there are just a lot of people who didn't know about it. So the mission in the beginning, they were very, very successful in helping us access all of the federal and state aid that was available to us. It was wonderful to have an advisor, just someone who you get on the phone with and say, "Hey, I'm hearing these rumors. What's true? What's not true? What can we do?" That was great. But since you know, a lot of the targeted relief came through, certainly in the restaurant industry, it did. As we've moved past that, we've kind of looked at what our membership wants and needs. And each state does drive its own policy objectives to a certain degree. You know, we have a kind of a policy platform at the national level, but we kind of get to decide what's most important. And in the last few years, we've really been advocating for things that surround the care economy. So, for example, we really believe that for small businesses to thrive, we need people who can afford childcare. We need access to affordable childcare. We need parental leave. We need a paid leave program that isn't on the shoulders of small business in the form of a tax. So we've advocated for some of these programs. Many other states have actually accomplished them. Our neighbor state of Minnesota has done some of these kind of important legislative pieces at the state level. But the last few years, we've really focused on those kinds of things because it's important. You know, if your employees can't afford affordable childcare, they aren't able to show up and thrive and be their best, most productive self day to day for you. There's also, you know, the argument that our customers, you know, we need to have a strong, healthy middle class who can afford to come to a craft brewery and, you know, have a few craft beers and a nice meal with their family. And when you're drowning in healthcare costs, childcare costs, it becomes harder and harder for people to enjoy what we do best, which is, you know, really a fun, relaxing environment to enjoy with your family. So, you know, we've advocated for that the last few years. Now we have kind of a new challenge because things are changing rapidly at the federal level. So we are looking at what small businesses need right now. And, you know, we really are trying to be a voice for maybe a different approach. Traditionally, people have assumed that business owners kind of have this one monolithic value set or, you know, approach toward politics that, you know, revolves around lowering their taxes and deregulating everything. And there's a lot of us who don't really operate that way. We care deeply about the people that work for us. We're interested in a thriving business from top to bottom. We recognize that some of these issues that, you know, people face right now with increased cost really affect our top line and our bottom line. So it isn't just about the small business ownership and the finances of that as much as, you know, having a thriving community and people who can really make the economy work for them from top to bottom. So those are the things that we're advocating for. Some of the other things that we're working on are anti-competitive practices, you know, in the corporate world. I mean, a lot of true small business struggles with going up against big companies who have a lot more power than they do. And there are a lot of ways that we can be squeezed out of markets. And so we need some of these regulatory pieces to stay in place for us to be able to compete. As a craft brewery, you can only imagine what it's like to be, you know, in competition with large domestic brands who have a lot of power, who have a lot of sponsorship dollars. It's always a challenge for us, but there's other businesses, you know, that have challenges every day in our Main Street Alliance community. And we really, we help individuals work through those issues, contact their locals and federal and state governments when issues arise of, you know, potential anti-competitive practices in the marketplace, that kind of thing. So there is kind of a large scale of or a large range of issues that we advocate for right now. Of course, the tariffs are a big concern for us going forward. As a craft brewery, it was announced yesterday that we have a 25% tariff on aluminum. That's every single can of beer that we produce. So these things, I had a flurry of emails from the Brewers Association and from all my trade advocacy groups talking about how we're going to approach this and what we're going to do. These are real issues, and it will translate to more expensive costs on the shelf. There's just no question about it. One other issue we're concerned about right now is our labor force. You know, threats of mass deportation are detrimental to everyone. And it changes the structure of, regardless of what business you're in and who you hire, it will squeeze out, you know, jobs jobs at our entry level will become more competitive. Absolutely. We have a very low unemployment rate in this state. And if you extract a large amount of workforce from that number, there's not much left. Mm-hmm. So we're concerned about all of it. So it's ever changing. Main Street Alliance evolves, but I love the organization. I've been very happy at being a part of it, and encourage anyone to look us up. Mark.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've been self-employed, which, by the way, I'm super like huge fangirling right now because
thank
I love
you.
Hinterland.
Thank you.
And, yeah.
Everybody loves Hinterland.
Incredible.
Yes,
oh my God.
Thank you very much.
So yeah, I've been self-employed for a few years. I have never been like I don't know much about the organization. I would love to be involved because
I'll be in
advocacy
touch.
Is a please. I would like that very much because and some of the things, you know, I'm very passionate about giving our employees good health care. It is very expensive, but that is how we retain and get good employees. How does Main Street Alliance help small business owners? Because I have 7 people that work for me, so I am the owner, manager, and HR person, and I am not an HR certified person. How do you help with those things?
And that's really it. So it's a combination of just policy and advocacy and contacting legislators and having those meetings. We're having a fly-in in a couple weeks to DC. I'll have meetings with all of my local or my Wisconsin state senators and Congress people. So we get to talk about some of these issues. We constantly push for expansion of Badger Care money in the state. We constantly push for those kinds of things. But from a practical standpoint, we also offer resources. So, as a business organization, there are resources through Main Street Alliance, but there's also, a peer network of people that can say, hey, listen, I'm really struggling with this. I need to offer health insurance. It's too expensive for employees. You know, there's an exchange, that kind of thing. So it's a really, really great place to be from a peer standpoint, from a top-down thing. I invite you to come join us. But I really find that as a business owner, all of us can reach out and form an alliance with people who share our values. And that's really feels nice. The best in business. And I think that's the best thing. It's hard sometimes as an individual business owner to stick your neck out a ton.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so it's a great place to really put our energy.
It's wonderful. And for folks who want to learn more about Main Street Alliance, they can go to mainstreetalliance.org, which we will have in the show notes. Michelle, you
Thank
teach
you.
Us so much always. I want to have you back because everything that you
Thank
said,
you,
there's so much more to say. So thank you for joining us. Hey, friends, give us 2 minutes. We have to make lots of money, and then we will have a history lesson. This is Civic.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. This is Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network. I am Dr. Kristen Lyerly. And Greg, what are we listening to?
Sometimes you go through the music and you just type in, let's get. And
it's not let's get together. It's let's stay together.
Well, it's having nothing. Leave me alone. All right. I'm having a day.
Oh, friends, we're here with Mark Becker, my co-host this morning.
But guess what song I have for you?
What?
It's coming.
Hit me.
There you go.
That's what I thought we were going to hear. Okay, everybody, take a breath. You ready? Hey, we welcome Melissa Kay.
Hi, Good Melissa.
Morning. Good morning.
Uh-huh. This is, of course, not Al Green's Let's Get Together, but it's Let's Stay Together.
Well, the other one was Let's Get Married.
Let's not.
I agree with that.
Okay.
But I love you. Oh, this song was number one in 1972. When I hear this song, though, I think of Barack Obama.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's
yeah.
right.
Oh yeah. He said. Yeah. Oh, and the whole room
Viral
was like,
moment.
"Is there nothing this man can't do?" All the men were like, "I give up."
Uh-huh. And you know who else has that talent? Melissa Kay.
Oh, all the men are like, "She's just too talented." Which, well, how? And the ladies are like, "What?"
Melissa Kay can sing. So if you feel inspired.
You got to play something I know, though.
What?
Okay, we'll get there.
Come
Very
on,
often,
all
right. Cat
We'll get there. There
it's
are so
yet.
Many birthdays
it's
today. So today is Abraham Lincoln's birthday.
Oh.
Really?
Also, Charles Darwin. They were born on the same day in 1809.
How old is Abe Lincoln?
He's old.
He's dead.
He's old. Yeah.
He's dead.
Yeah.
He's very dead.
And they were all the same day, same year.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right.
I have a little picture of them together sitting next to each other with little birthday hats on.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Abe and Charlie. Of course. They signed
yeah.
it for you.
Abe and Chuck. Oh, old Abe and Chuck.
Yeah. In 1909, the NAACP was founded on this day, and in 1963, construction began on the Gateway Arch in St. Louis. It took 2.5 years to complete.
Wow.
And this song.
This
fella was born in 1952. He is a Pat Kreitlow favorite. He is the foundation of Yacht Rock. He is Michael McDonald.
That little organ part just... my whole body goes, just relaxes.
Uh-huh. It started a movement. That is the Yacht Rock song.
This is the song Greg requests when he goes in for a massage.
Yes. It's a song I request when I'm at jury duty. It's a song I request when, you know, being audited by the IRS.
Oh, geez.
Does anybody else, when they see Michael McDonald, kind of see a little Aaron Rodgers?
No, not at all. Not in one bit. Don't ever compare the two again.
Sorry.
Oh, wow.
One person's a very, very nice human being who's grateful to be alive and lives a life of service and wonderfulness and art. And the other one is Aaron Rodgers.
Got fired from the Jets.
That plane took off without him.
Also on this day, it is Judy Blume's birthday. She is 87. Ooh. Arsenio Hall is 69.
Nice.
Brett Kavanaugh is 60.
Only.
Yeah. And China Phillips is 57. China Phillips, of course, of the band Wilson Phillips. Remember that song back in 1990?
The classic. Their only hit?
No, I think they had one or two other hits.
Okay.
Yeah. Melissa.
My wife belts this one out.
Where's your wife, Mark?
She's sleeping right now.
No, she's laying in, she's laying in bed singing. She's like.
You know, we were talking about the temperatures this morning and how they were exactly the same as they were yesterday. Ironically, today in 1993, debut of the movie Groundhog Day.
Oh, nice.
Yep, little Groundhog
That's
Day
weird. I know exactly who I was dating in 1993 then, because we went to go see that movie in the theaters.
Interesting.
Yeah, weird.
Tell me the things you remember.
Yeah.
And in 2004, City of San Francisco began issuing marriage licenses to same-sex couples.
Nice.
In response to a directive from Mayor Gavin Newsom. It is also National Freedom to Marry Day. Let's celebrate that.
Ah, cool.
It's a good day.
It's a great day.
That is a good day.
It is. And then, back in 1981, Rush released their album, Moving Pictures, featuring this song.
Oh, yeah!
Tom Sawyer. A Monday warrior, mean, mean
strike. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean, mean pride. Melissa?
This was before I was born.
What? You
You can still sing it.
You know,
I don't know it.
I hear that. All people are always like that song came out before I was born. It doesn't mean you've never heard it, though.
I've not heard a whole lot of Rush. I know they have an amazing drummer.
Oh, yeah.
R.I.P.
Neil Peart.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Hey, National Days, it is Lost Penny Day. Have you heard that we're going to stop making pennies?
That's going to cost us more money.
It actually does. This is weird. One thing that Donald Trump has said that really makes sense because it costs like 2 cents.
No pun intended.
Yeah.
No, stop making the penny. It's going to cost us more money because we're going to have to make more nickels, which cost more to make than the nickels worth. So what are we?
We should just
get rid of nickels too.
Just make it quarters and 50 cent pieces.
Prices are going
like
go
everything
up.
Donald Trump does, it doesn't make sense.
Happy Lost Penny Day. Also National Hug Day. So think about who you want to hug as we go into this next break. Melissa, thank you for joining us this morning. It's always good to see you. All right.
The national news cycle never stops.
but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.